FIFA fans around the world. We're recording this on Sunday, October 3rd. As always, I'm your host, Tyler.
And I'm your host, Andrew. Welcome to your weekly hit of the Foot Fix. Tyler, to kick things off, what are you drinking?
Well, Andrew, I am playing a 7v7 soccer league, and my team just finished our third loss in a row. And so I decided to open a bottle of Honor Barn Red by Roxy Ann Winery to really commemorate the occasion of being at the bottom of the table of our rec league. Andrew, how about yourself?
Well, that's funny you are commemorating something, because we are talking about FIFA, and I have also, with my wife, been binging Ted Lasso. So I am drinking a gin and tonic for our British friends across the pond, because it's fucking delicious. And so,
right. No spoilers. Cheers. No spoilers.
It's just amazing. That's the only spoiler, is it won all the Emmys for a reason. It's great. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. I love it.
All right. Cheers, buddy. So Andrew, we had a pretty busy last few days on foot. The game is out now for pretty much everybody. We've got the first promotion of the year, which is the ones to watch, team number one, plus the additional three players that have come out. What are kind of like initial thoughts for you as the promo rolled out?
I think we kind of nailed it that they were going to split up the promo, right? So CR7 is this week. Messi certainly is next week. They did add a little bit of, oh, hey, here's some good players. And then today we just got a couple more good players, but not elite players. So, you know, this week we have CR7 and Varane. Next week it's going to be Messi and Lukaku. And am I forgetting any other major headliners? I can't think of anyone.
Probably, but nothing jumps to mind for me either. So it's fine. You know, there will be good players for sure that if you pack them untradeable, you'd be ecstatic.
I think the thing that's jumping out to me is this first one is very defender heavy, which is frustrating in a game that does not give a ton of informs to defenders. I packed Alaba, Varane, who's great. You would take him as a gold even, but Hakimi, Upamecano, Alaba, who's the other ones? Dumfries.
And real quick, Andrew, was your Alaba that you got, was that from the guaranteed ones to watch that came out?
Yeah, like guaranteed, automatic.
We should chat about that a little.
We should. We don't even have that on our show notes because we've kind of blacked it out of our minds, but we absolutely should talk about that. I guess as the technically lawyer on this, while this is in no way legal advice, I need to say that for my bar license purposes, I'll give a little bit of legal, I don't know, law school-y thoughts, maybe something like that. EA, we all know this, like most, I bet everybody listening to the podcast, or most of you, bought the Ultimate Edition. It said you were guaranteed an OTW card, right? That's like, I didn't even look up the phrasing, but I'm pretty confident it said guaranteed OTW pack October 1st. And then on September 30th, people started getting an OTW pack. We all got OTW packs in our club, but with this like random ass warning that said, do not open the OTW pack until 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Well, it didn't even say do not open. It just said guaranteed a one to watch between October 1st and October 14th of 700 UTC. And it's like, there's so many, like, who the fuck knows what UTC is? Like, I know it's related to, like, it's either an hour ahead or the same as London time, but it's not exactly the same as London time. And yeah, it was a little bit confusing and misleading, and it clearly came out early. Anyway, please continue.
No, I mean, you pretty much nailed it though, right? Like, it came out early, and then you think, oh, they just screwed up and like are telling people not to open, but you're still going to get, clearly you're going to get an OTW. Maybe it's just the gold card of the OTW because that's what's in packs, but who knows? No. It was just a random one player, I think just basically like a 75 plus rare player pack. Because some stupid people opened it because they wanted to see, like, hey, maybe I'll get my OTW early. If you're a streamer or something, like, maybe you get a jump on the market and like you're spending thousands of dollars, so you don't care anyways. I tweeted a couple of times and like replied to a bunch of people, just like, so this happened overnight, and in Vancouver, I guarantee at 9 a.m. when their in-house counsel gets in, they're going to be like, no, 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 fix this fucking shit. And that's almost exactly what happened at 9:12 Vancouver's time. So 12:15 Eastern, comes out a tweet basically we're going to fix this. Sorry about that, guys, because it's clearly fucking, you don't need to be a lawyer. Just basic, everyone paid for having an OTW card and they just weren't going to give it to you. That's bullshit. So we should also talk about the fact that this is probably just my own negligence, but the hero cards are in packs, but we actually don't get our guaranteed hero card for another 2 months. And that was surprising to me and weird. And was I supposed to know that beforehand, or is this another little bait and switch, but they're technically giving it to me legally?
That is not a bait and switch. That actually was clearly articulated.
Okay.
It was a huge surprise actually on the announcement of the Ultimate Edition. It was like, I don't get the hero card until December, but the cards are actually in packs from the get-go. I'm not going to care about the card by the time I get it. That's dumb. And so that is not a bait and switch. It's just a really underwhelming incentive as part of the Ultimate Edition.
This is a shitty way to do it. I think we weren't going to talk about the hero cards because neither of us have any in our squad, and we probably would be talking about them if we had just gotten to open a hero pack or were anticipating getting to open it next week. But by December, all of these random ass cards with slightly better than random team of the week cards, I don't know. Right. What do you think, Tyler?
Just a little bit more on the ones to watch pre-order debacle. I instantly knew that this was going to be something that they were going to fix. And I almost, just to prove how sincere I was, thought about going ahead and just opening mine because I knew that they had to fix it. The one thing that really kept me from doing that was the fear that it would take them forever to figure it out. And the timing and cadence of when you actually get your one to watch pre-order pack matters because we knew that these three extra cards were coming out. We knew they were going to roll on to a team two. Then there was going to be additional cards added to team two. And I was like, just for the sake of getting a gold card, it's not worth me going ahead and opening this pack. So I'm just not going to do it. And so I was like, all right, fine. Just leave it alone. But what also happened, I can't remember if it was Matt Foot Trading or somebody who's pretty prominent in the FIFA community opened up theirs and then got gold Hradecky, the Bundesliga goalkeeper, who actually was in the current team of the week at the time that he opened the pack, but he got the gold card. So he didn't even get the special item that was in pack. And that made me cry laughing. I thought that was the most hysterical thing ever because it's what does he even tag EA help with? I not only did I not get my one to watch player, but you also owe me a team of the week player for sending me a gold player on accident. It was just funny. Anyway, huge debacle. They fixed it. And they actually did, I believe, you just mentioned, they rolled out the note that people would be getting their packs. And I think people got them in time to open for just team one before these three new players came. Everything was fine. So they solved it. And I think my only closing thought on it was, it was one of those other examples that brought out a lot of the shitty people in the community that just talk shit about people who accidentally opened their pack because they didn't read the fine print. And it's who the fuck needs to read the fine print on a pack? Not everyone is in the habit of saving packs for the right time. Some people just get them and open them. And there's no way that you should talk shit to those people and call them dumb and thick and stupid. That really irritated me. I lost my mind on Friday night, Saturday, whenever this was going down. And then I was I need to get off Twitter for 24 hours because I was too mad. And it was over something that totally doesn't even impact me. And I was I just need to walk away. But it really, really irritated me. And I think people just need to be more kind.
I mercifully missed a lot of that. I did see some people saying hey, this streamer who's complaining about it clearly knew what the fine print was and then chose to ignore it. And that's a fair criticism, right? You don't get to complain about something if you're on stream reading do not open this. And you're I'm going to press the button anyways, screw you. But other than that, think about your random, I don't know, 20-year-old or whoever. It's like, I know I paid for this pack. I know, like, paid early for this version of the game. No, I paid to get this pack. It's in my account.
Right.
Just like in years past, where the every week a jumbo gold pack would be in your account, you know, on Sunday nights with Squad Battle Rewards or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, let me just click that and open it because in my account, like, why would you even think twice? Even us, like, we are obviously like addicted to this game, but it's, I wouldn't have been surprised if one of us had been like, I don't know, out like at dinner or something and saw an OTW pack in our account on, you know, just like looking.
Sweet, it's here, right? App. Like,
it's like, cool. Totally. Yeah, they press the button early. Let's go. And so, all I want to say here is if you saw anyone like giving shit to people, just like the generic people, just like fucking block them. That's the best tool on Twitter is the block button. Get rid of those fuckers. You don't have to have them in your life. Don't be an asshole. The end.
Yeah. Waterman Surf, follower of the show. I know he was one of those people that opened the pack early and he was a little upset by some of those comments coming in. And I was like, dude, don't worry about it. Like, these are, I like went on a deep dive of one of the guys that was like being harassing. Ooh. And it was like a 19-year-old's burner account where like all it was like retweets of FIFA point giveaways. And it's like, all right, like this is the type of person who is now talking shit to you. Like, I think let's just let it go. Anyway, I think that's enough on the pre-order pack, but it was a huge debacle. Absolutely. For all of probably 2.5 hours. And with that said, we did get a whole ones to watch team. It's pretty good. There's also a couple of objectives. We've got a Clivert objective that came out. We've got a Kamavinga objective. Are you doing those? Any thoughts on the objectives or anything else around the team?
I think I'm doing Kamavinga. Well, I am doing Kamavinga, even though it's a little annoying. I hate some of the get a cross with a League on player because, one, I've already gotten like 6 crosses with League on players in this stupid mode, and the game just doesn't register every single time you score a goal because if it gets deflected on the way through or they just choose not to register it, it doesn't go through, and that's always annoying. And I hate these like double specific ones, but I'm doing Kamavinga. Do I think he's worth it? No, I think the time effort is actually pretty aggressive, and I started doing it expecting like last year that people were going to do golden goal, and they're just not. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen that. I don't think I'm gonna bother with Clivert. Like, he's fine, but the number of team of the weeks he would need to be like a usable card is probably 3 or 4, and at that point, like, I'll just go buy that 4th or 3rd team of the week.
Yeah, totally. So a few things. I have already completed Kamavinga because I'm an addict of the game.
Of course you have.
Should come as no surprise. But just so everyone knows, I had done like a whole bunch of 2-player packs before this. And I got, we'll talk about everyone that I got. But one of the players I got was the gold Valverde, who's a Real Madrid center mid, who's 35K on the market and probably infinitely better right now than Kamavinga. And so Kamavinga has like a long way to go to eclipse Valverde. But I was like, you know what? I've already got from these upgrades Thibaut Courtois, an Eder Militao, a Ferland Mendy. And I was like, I really feel like, what if Kamavinga has like the best season of all time? Like, I've already got all these good, you know, Real Madrid players. Like, it seems silly at this stage of the game not to go through and do it. And so I jumped in, I did it. No one played golden goal. However, I did get the benefit 3 times during my run for it of people doing the loyalty glitch in Livefoot friendlies. For people that don't know, it used to always be that Livefoot friendlies didn't count the game towards your player's record of games plays, which didn't count towards your 10 games of earning loyalty. And for the advanced SBCs, which right now is actually still a really good time for everyone to go and complete those advanced SBCs, because all of these common goals and rare goals are super, super, super cheap. So it's a great time to do it. And you've got all these great ones to watches in packs. three times I had an opponent who started the game, kicked me the ball, let me run through and score however I wanted. And as soon as I scored, they quit. And I was like, this is amazing. And then I was like, so happy. So like, I actually got through Kamavinga. Like, I would say it still took longer than I thought it would, like reading all the objectives and what have you. But I got the wins before I got all of the La Liga goals scored. And so I had to play a few extra games where I could score with a La Liga player. And then I didn't even need the win. So I was just like, well, I scored first and I scored with a La Liga player. They didn't quit. So I guess I'll let them score and rubber band and just like let the game play out because I don't care. And that made it like less stressful because I kind of got like a head start. And I actually think that's going to be for like maybe the rest of like eventually people are going to all be done with the advanced SBCs. Like that'll be less and less common. And I don't know that there's many other SBCs that come out that really require loyalty, but I would just advise everyone to like jump on that as soon as possible, because that is a potential benefit that you might get trying to do it right now.
Yeah. I think just doing that to get loyalty on your players in general is actually a really good idea. Like say you go buy a card off the market, it's a good idea to like just go get the loyalty bonus already. Like you've got a bunch of tradable cards you buy, like, hey, get that plus one, and like helps you instead of having to buy a manager card or something. Like obviously
yeah, don't or have to like just a like CF to if there's like a CF to CAM that's extinct, exactly. You can't get it. Like, it's like, that's a way to get an extra point by not having to spend 5K or spend 20 minutes trying to spend 5K and not even being able to get it. Like it could help.
Yeah. And so, and the other thing, so I actually just in the last 24 hours also finished my foundation SBCs because you told me about this glitch and I was like, oh, perfect. Let me just go finish everything that I haven't finished before. One thing, you know, we haven't talked about on this podcast is they've changed packs, which an incredible change to packs is there's guaranteed rated cards in packs now. Right. So rare mega packs, I think, have a guaranteed 83 plus. Regular mega packs, I think it's 82 plus. You guys obviously just tweet me and let me know how stupid I am because I'm just saying this off the top of my head. But you know, whatever it is, like there is now guaranteed rated cards too. So you're, I mean, the market is silly cheap right now, but it's still awesome to get like guaranteed whatever rated card. I got 86s and 87s. I got Chiellini, Woj Chesney, Jordi Alba. I think I got all of them tradable. So it's like, and again, all tradable, great stuff in packs. You can get these hero cards. So go to your foundation SBCs. They're awesome. They're super easy to do.
Yeah. Hybrid leagues, hybrid nations. It's like somewhat time consuming, like start to finish. Like if you're like, I'm going to knock out both of these sets, I honestly think it probably is like an hour and a half plus commitment, maybe 2 hours. You said
no,
three.
No. Get on Footbin. Maybe 30 minute commitment. Cause most likely anyone listening to this,
including the loyalty, a lot.
So here's my thought though. And this is what I did. So maybe it will help some folks. You don't have to do loyalty for each thing, right? So
I think only one of them you have to.
Right. Well, some of them say you do, but like here's what I did. So do every single one of the SBCs. So there's 12 in total, right? There's hybrid leagues, hybrid nations, hybrid league and nations. Just grind through them. I'm assuming everyone listening has tons of packs because you're all like addicts like we are. And just see what you get and then write down all the cards that you need to get to your correct chem or whatever. For me, it was just like 7 cards. It was like over 2 or 3 SBCs, but it was just like 7 cards in total because I had all the other random ones in my account, either tradable or untradable, but they had the loyalty already on them. So I was able to just do it in one swoop, but it actually knocked out all like 2 or 3 SBCs that I had to do. So I would highly recommend doing that because it obviously will save you time.
Okay, well, that is a great transition because the reason that option was not available to me is because I had put all of my common gold players into 2-player pack upgrades. I already read off.
Did that reasonable... work out for you? Did that work out for you, Tyler?
So I listed off a bunch of Real Madrid players that I got, which was pretty helpful. But one other player that I got was the new PSG right-wing transfer, Lionel Messi. I got Lionel Messi from a two-player upgrade pack. Holy shit.
Oh, that's so amazing.
It really just
caused me to do like 100 two-player upgrade packs. I fully endorse doing it, by the way, right now. Like, pack weight seems to be crazy. I'm getting tons of cards. We would be doing backflips over of like 84s, 85s, 86s by putting in, you know, 11 common golds, but nothing like Messi. That is an amazing pool. He's what, third most expensive card, like regular card in the game. Got him a little too early, right? You got him 1 week too early, unfortunately. Yeah. Because next week that'd be crazy.
Yeah. So I already mentioned on our pod 2 weeks ago that from the 100 finesse goals, I had gotten Bruno Fernandes from that 100 finesse goal reward pack.
Yeah.
And so it would have been great if I could have gotten the perfect link with Ronaldo, like CR7 is like impacts now. And if I had gotten the one to watch there. So that was probably like what I was really looking for. So it felt like still the right thing to do to go ahead and open those packs. Anyway, Messi's in the club for however long he's viable as an option. There's no way, like, he's not, like, 6 months from now is like the longest I think he's probably a viable option. Like, at some point, like, these promo cards are going to be way, 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 way better. It could happen much, much, much faster.
You think? I feel like Messi, Mbappe, Ronaldo, we'll keep track of this, but I feel like those are the type of cards that you use their gold cards basically until team of the season. Maybe you end up replacing them, but you don't have to, is kind of the idea. Is like,
oh, for sure.
That's certainly fair. Be like a bench player for you forever. And, you know, you don't have to. Like,
squad I legend. Assume, that might be, this might be like the most games played for a card that I ever get, because I've never had a card like that untradeable this early in the game. So I was just ecstatic. And so to no longer have any common golds in my club, totally a great trade. I'm very happy with it.
That's perfect.
The one thing I want to come clean with, I have not told you this ahead of time. I was so excited about my team, and I was like, this is building great. I put in another 12K FIFA points.
Oh, nice.
So I open more packs. And so I'm now 12K plus 4.6K paid plus 4.6K with the Ultimate Edition. Yeah. And I'm done. Like, that's it. But with that extra little bump, I got, I packed Leon Goretzka, who was 200 plus K. I can't remember what I sold him for.
Yeah.
And I packed a Marcus Rashford, who is instantly starting in my squad. And everyone else pretty much sucked. Great coins. And Rashford's in the squad. Goretzka gave me the coins. And so what I actually did was went and bought ones to watch Alaba and ones to watch Hakimi. And so Hakimi gives me the strongly on a 4-5-1 to get Messi in the squad, full cam. Alaba rounds out like all of my trillion Real Madrid players. So I'm now set there. I don't really expect Alaba to get an upgrade, but if he does, like, if it's only like 40K, it's like not too expensive.
I expect him to get the one upgrade.
Oh yeah, for sure. You're right. The 5 and 10. So he'd go to an 86. I've been
bitching about my Alaba, and I was like, wait, he's probably gonna get one. That's actually why I'm gonna do Kamavinga, is if they both get like a decent one upgrade and then like maybe a second one. The What If program was the one last year that did that for the first time. Like, it's just a great, or maybe Headliners. Did Headliners do it for the first time?
No, you're right. It was What If, but it was more strict than this. I feel like it was like you had to, it was like a shorter time. Like, this is 5 out of 10. Like, most teams that are any good are going to get their 5 out of 10 at some point.
Well, PSG and Real Madrid are like, the Premier League teams, it's maybe a little more hit and miss, because 5 wins is, it's a lot. Like, it's not,
but out of 10, like, it just might, I know, come so, but it'll come so late that maybe you don't want it. Like, it's like, if you're not getting it until
some,
January,
some of us are Southampton fans, and 5 wins out of like 20 is huge. So,
anyway,
that's awesome. The good for you. Good, you know, this is the we said it, I guess now two podcasts in a row, like, this is the time, if you're going to spend money on the game, this is the time where it makes by far the most sense. You're getting value for it. You know, this weekend might actually be the best time to do it because the hero cards are in packs, OTWs in packs, everything's kind of, well, I guess some things are low because there's tons of supply on the market, but a lot of stuff is really high. Like these random golds, like I packed Imre Chan, like a 82 rated card, and he's like 20K right now. So things like that are super high. But good for you. That's like awesome. We've obviously been talking a while already, but like, we don't need to talk about Messi. Like he's awesome. We can talk about him, you know, maybe another week when there is no content or something, but
yeah, I got
guess
my,
what? Messi's good.
Yeah. I got my 1500 rivals points. I think what would be cool is if I maybe give you a route after I try the actual playoff, which I'm going to do sometime over the next week. So let's table that for a week from now, a little Messi review, but I haven't really put him to the full test yet.
Okay, well, we will do that. And I want to transition to something else. And because I want to talk about this game. We've now had it officially for about a week and a half. So what, 10 days or so? We have been both completely obsessed, I think fully dove into the game. I said a week ago that I thought this was the best game since FIFA 19, probably. I'm going to hold off on my thoughts first after having played a lot more. Tyler, you just said you qualified for the playoffs, so you've been playing a ton. What are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, I think the game is very different, and it's also confusing because we both have next-gen consoles, and so there's also this complicating factor of toggling between either new-gen and old-gen. I have decided I felt more comfortable on old gen. Maybe that's because it feels a little bit more similar to FIFA 21. And so just the way the players move is a little more comfortable. So I'm in that realm.
Old gen, you mean on your new gen, on your PS5, but you're playing the old gen version on your PS5.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm
doing the same thing. I'm doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. And it feels like what I think is going to happen happens more frequently. And so that just feels more comfortable. And I don't even know that it's better. It's just that what FIFA on PS5 felt like was just confusing. I could not understand the touches my players were making. And honestly, this game feels like being successful from the beginning is important. And I'm not trying to be like a pro, like I'm not playing in any tournaments, like whatever, like no one, it doesn't really matter. So
yeah.
I'm playing on old gen. And go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to say one funny thing, which now seems to be a theme of my life. I thought I was only playing on old gen. And earlier this week, I went through a string of losses for like 2 days in a row. And apparently I had somehow re-downloaded without clicking anything new gen. Cause I actually deleted it from my console. Cause like, I don't want this fucking, I don't want exactly what happened to me to happen to me. And I played for 2 days on new gen. And I was like, why are my players taking 11 touches to make a pass? Like, this is insane. Like, I'm not using the best players, but they're still fine. Like Sabitzer was literally doing like spins and like three touch roulettes and stuff and then making a pass. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I'm an idiot, but
I was much happier. Life of a parent with two small children, I guess, you know, your sleep deprivation.
Yeah, not sleeping is probably not great for my brain. Yeah. Also shout out again to the two player upgrades. I just randomly decided to do one while we were talking and I got Hummels and Sergio Asenio. So an 86 and 83.
Yeah, hey, and these things are glorious.
The pack weight is silly right now.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Gameplay, what I would really say about it, I kind of like the, like, last week I said I liked FIFA 21 more than FIFA 22. Now I'm feeling like it's more kind of on par. I think FIFA 22 has promise, but there are 100% things that need to be fixed. For me, the thing that really stands out as a glaring problem is finishing inside the box is much too difficult. And it really seems to be because of goalkeeper on steroids, like whether it's animations or just like they're super OP, but like low-driven shots are really effective this year for me now that I have the likes of Messi and Rashford. And I've been telling everyone to, like, ever since Kevin last week mentioned, we shouted him out. Like, he's the one that told me about it. So I've been doing nothing but low-drivens inside the box on Kevin's recommendation. And with Messi and Rashford, that has been incredible. I briefly mentioned that there was a Kluivert objective player that was out. And that led me to, like, put a ton of shit Dutch players into my squad just so I could, like, unlock that objective. And so from my guaranteed ones to watch, I got the shitty Bergkwijs Dutch league player who's an 81 rated gold. And so he is my best Dutch player. And then I also had Hattebor, who's a 80 rated right mid. And I put them both in and played them both as my striker to just, like, unlock this objective. And I kid you not, like, 9 low-driven shots in a row, admittedly on Squad Battles Professional. Like, maybe the Squad Battles Professional game is different than online, but they missed all of them. And it was like, what the fuck is going on with these guys? Like, so maybe my gameplay experience is slightly different with Messi and Rashford playing up top for me versus people who might be playing with starter squads. Like, if I didn't have the Messi low-driven and Rashford low-driven that was, like, a guaranteed goal inside the box, I'd really be pulling my hair out super frustrated, because then, like, it feels like your option is really to circle back to your cams, like, outside the box and do, like, time finish, finesse shots. And those do still work, and I have Messi, and it works great. But that, like, doesn't feel like the game that we really want. So my biggest concern with gameplay, it feels like the keepers are just a little too strong, and I feel like they need to start tweaking it, like, a little, like, let's buff it a little bit and then, like, take it down. Let's take it down a little more, like, find the sweet spot. And that's what needs to happen for me. And I think from there, I feel like, all right, we might have a pretty good game built here.
All right. So I know it seems to be the common thing to say keepers are overpowered right now. I don't disagree that some things keepers are overpowered on. Specifically, I think finesse shots in the box, they save way too athletically. But you mentioned low drivens in the box. Like, a lot of those will just, like, nutmeg a keeper for no reason, and they don't get a deflection on or anything. And also, we talked about before, the long finesse shots where the keeper doesn't go up and actually get the ball. John, foot coaching on Foot and Review this weekend, mentioned it appears to be because they screwed up the animation and they let the keeper use the wrong hand. So a keeper, basically, they have the keeper putting up the wrong hand, and so they're just whiffing on the finesse shots. And in real life, they would put up the other hand, and they would, of course, tip the ball, like, these long finesse shots over the crossbar, or they just catch it. And that appears to maybe be a glitch. Who knows? I agree with you, keepers are a little overpowered right now, but to me, the more overpowered thing is just fucking the defensive AI, which seems to now be 3 years running. This defensive AI is just overpowered. And it's a specific type, because it seems to me that the defense is really, really stupid on counters, right? Like, they don't make the type of track back runs I would typically expect, or I'm sure have you given up kickoff goals recently? Because I'm starting to see people just, like, sprinting at me, and my defenders are just like, oh, what? We're playing football right now? What is happening? And it's just like, come on, guys. Like, let's move a little bit. Like, let's do something. So that is, to me, like, a problem. But then on the other hand, the AI in the box is just, like, crazy go-go gadget leg. Like, let me block every shot possible if I can out of nowhere, even though I'm not marking, or let me make, I think the other thing I'm seeing lately, you're a little higher than me in Rivals, so I'm still playing some, like, relatively bad players who spam the shit out of tackles.
Well, where are you ranked right now?
I'm in 7.
Okay, yeah, I'm only at 6. I'm not, like, that much higher than you. I'm, like, I think I'm in 6, 3, like, I'm in the bottom of 6.
Okay. I mean, whatever, like we're still in the early stages, but I'm like facing people who are like spamming tackle. Like they'll have, I actually like the stat now that shows you how many times they attempted a tackle versus how many times they like effectively tackled you. It's like, you'll see like 35 or 40 tackles. And it's like, oh, okay. They clearly, they're just like spamming tackle, spamming slide tackle. But then the AI actually like auto recovers way too quickly. Like if you, I don't know. I have a lot of rants about the gameplay a little bit. So let me back up a little bit. I mentioned my thought about keepers. I think to me, the defense is a little too overpowered on things that are AI related. And as maybe every year, I could probably say this like a broken record, since like FIFA 18, really, the AI defense is way too overpowered and manual defending well. So blocking passes, stealing balls, things like that is not overpowered enough from my viewpoint.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have talked numerous times in this pod about how much you and I both love manual defending. I have felt this year more than ever that is to my detriment. Now, it is certainly very early in the game, and it's totally possible that I'm just really slow to adapt and learn what I need to do. Like, I'm 40 years old. Like, I acknowledge and accept all those things as real possibilities, but it is.
Who are you using in defense? Because for me, that might be also part of my problem.
Yeah, so my back line is Ferland Mendy, David Alaba, Eder Militao, and now I have Hakimi on at right back. But
so no 2 days ago, over 85, but even yeah. Hakimi, so take out Hakimi, then it's like yeah. 84, 82, 83.
Literally, I bought Hakimi in the last 24 hours. Before that, I was using whoever the PSG left back, who's Portuguese. He's Nandez or something like that. He's really fast. And so I was playing him off Kim at right back and then switching him with Mendy in game. And so I would let Mendy actually play right back. And then I moved that guy back over to the left because he's left footed and he would get real out of position. Like he's a 78 rated player. Like he'd go so far forward and I'd constantly try to like pull him back. And that is a problem. And I kind of like the fact that low rated players get out of position. Like that actually feels like what should happen. But I think if you have like a good gold player, like a Ruben Dias or a Sergio Ramos, they don't fuck up. Like they stay where they're supposed to be. And when you're attacking against players like that, you can't find a way around like the wall. And so that can be like super frustrating. And so it's like the meta is clearly going to become like uber, uber patient. And if they do end up nerfing the crazy long range finesse shots, which they probably will, I'm not quite clear like where things go, because it's like you somehow have to figure out how to break that down. And me as a manual defender, like I can't stand to just watch someone pass the ball around between their cams and attacking winger players. Like it's like if there's like 10 passes in a row that are just all around the outside. Like eventually, because I'm manually defending, I'm going to select the wrong guy. And like, I think I'm selecting like my right center back, but I actually select the right back and I'm trying to charge at the guy with the ball. But now I'm like charging behind the guy with the ball. And then it's like, oh shit, I just created this huge open space. Like that inevitably happens. And so I feel really punished for doing that manually defending, but it is because I'm not great at selecting the right player. And I know there's this whole new function about being able to right click the stick in and then pick, but it's a little bit slower than just like the flick of the right stick. And I just haven't mastered that. So like, I'm somewhat hopeful that maybe I'll figure it out, but I also feel like I'm getting really crushed because I do it wrong.
So I've been watching, obviously all the YouTubers and stuff are coming out with all their videos of everything right now. And some of them are coming, you know, like these people, they came out on day one of the game being released before they'd even really play. It's like, you don't know shit. But like now we're like a weekend and some of the stuff, no one is using that feature, right? It's just, everyone just describes it as too slow. And it's a good idea, But the fact you have to click in and then select something, it's just you're too fucked. Like it does not move fast enough. It
takes too long to recognize, like, what is it I want?
Right. I mean, switching, just in general, player switching takes too fucking long. But now, like, that, like, having to, like, press two buttons and then get the game to switch for you, you're just complete SOL. So, me, that's, like, a huge problem. But I think, to me, that's, like, what does EA view as a good game? Because it seems like they are moving more and more into this. You said, how are we going to score against it? I think EA views the optimal way to score as playing like Wolverhampton or something and just sitting 10 men back and spamming a long ball to Adama Traore or Raul Jimenez and just letting get a lucky bounce or two one time and that's how you get your goal, or twice and win a game 2-1, have 25 or 35% possession. And I honestly, like, playing the game, like, the more and more we move towards this as the meta every year, it's like, I have to think the developers think that's what they're looking for people to play. And I think that's gotta be what, like, the meta is going to be going forward. Is it's not going to be possession play. It's going to be try to counter and score as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the, like, we're the type of player that's there to try to win. And so I think if we recognize that our opponent is trying to play counter-attacking football, the way we try to counter that is, well, we're just going to hold possession and wait until we get the perfect chance. And so that really is, like, the right offset. I think it's just super frustrating when you can't figure out, like, what is the right moment to, like, actually take that shot. And when you have goalkeepers that are doing crazy things and center backs that are doing crazy things, it can feel super frustrating. And then you give up, like, a really cheap counter. I get it. Like, I've lost a ton of games this year already on that exact situation. And it's just so early. I'm, like, not really that bent out of shape about it. Like, I believe that I care about this game more than pretty much all of my opponents. I trust that I will figure out how to do this better. And so I'm still hopeful for FIFA 22. It's a different game and I haven't quite mastered it and figured it out. And I think I'm probably still at a point where I've been about 50% on the new gen version and 50% on the old gen. And I do think that's impairing me. And I feel like at some point I need to just make a switch and say, like, I'm only going to play on the PS4 version, or I'm only going to play on the PS5, because always trying to learn a new thing is definitely holding me back. And so I'll probably make a change there. But one thing I really wanted to ask you is, like, when you're playing, like, what's your setup? Like, what formation are you playing? Like, what are you trying to do?
So I have been trying a bunch of different shit this week, actually, and it's caused me to lose a lot. And I have watched some YouTube videos and stuff of random people, but I actually have just mostly been trying to come up with my own stuff. I think I have settled on a 4-3-2-1 as most effective for me. And both in Rivals and Camavinga, it seems like it might just be my players too, because I'm using Sané, Haaland, and Son up top as a front three. So that probably could have a lot to do with it. I was running a 4-2-3-1 for a while, and I just felt like the attacking options weren't there. So I'm using that. It's mostly balanced. I have seen kind of on Twitter, YouTube, podcasts, all the stuff we've listened to, that it does seem there's like a universal consensus. Anything besides balance on defense just isn't working. And I'm still trying to figure out all the other, like, the long runs, direct passing, possession, short runs, all that stuff, the new offensive stuff. I'm not sure any of it really seems to make a difference. Maybe it does for a split second, but personally, I'm completely confused what my AI is doing the whole time. And even when I'm trying to, like, manually trigger stuff, it's, like, not working all the time. So I'm still figuring all that out. But right now it's a 4-3-2-1, not just balanced. I think I'm probably running 50-50 defense, and offense, I think, is balanced. And direct passing, that's the one where it says, like, if you have good attackers, they'll make runs in behind or something. So I don't know. I'm still figuring out. That's actually one of my biggest tweaks. What about you? Anything with Mr. Messi and company?
Yeah, so I have been, for probably the past 4 years, my go-to formation has been the 4-2-2. And that has been like my bread and butter. Last year, I added in the 3-5-2. And I would say, I would pretty much start every game 4-2-2. And then the second didn't feel like things were going my way, I would transition into, shout out to Mr. Aubrey on Twitter. He had a 3-5-2 formation set up that I just absolutely loved. It made sense to me. It really worked. It was really fun. And this year, I'd say 90% of my games have been 4-2-2. Like, that's like just how I feel like I get a, like, I feel like I know where the people are supposed to be. Like, I know where the players are meant to be, what runs they're supposed to make, like where the spaces are. And so that's how I wanted to start. And I've spent an extraordinary amount of time in that formation. And I'd say it's been pretty successful. Like, I got to Division VI without like too much trouble. But now that I am in Division VI, I'm getting very frustrated in that I am controlling a game, winning 1-0, and then in the 83rd minute, conceding a goal, and we draw. And I've had so many draws now that I'm in D6, and like, I don't even lose, but it's like, you look at the XG and it's like, I'm triple like what my opponent's XG is, like something's wrong with my attack. And I think what's happening is I'm probably becoming too predictable. Like, I'm just always doing the same thing over and over and over. And over the course of like 15 real world minutes, my opponent is figuring out like exactly what I'm doing at every moment in time. And so I really feel like I need to add like another formation. And I happen to be, so I'm at like D6 rank 3 or whatever, and it's like a checkpoint. So it's like, I can't fall back. And I've now added, like, I was like, you know what, let me just make use of this. And so I've just now today tried building a whole bunch of new custom tactics. EA screwed up a lot and it's like not saving my custom tactics. So that's been a little frustrating, but I'm at a moment in time where like, all I really want to do, because I've already qualified, is I just want to experiment. And so I want to try a whole bunch of different formations. And so I want to go back first to the 3-5-2. Like, that's my old FIFA 21 bread and butter. I'm playing old gen FIFA 22. It's pretty similar to FIFA 21. I want to give that a run, really give it a try, see what that's all about. Eric Japes tweeted out that he's qualified for champs. He went like 8-1, running a 4-3-3-5. That is not a formation I've ever really tried. I was like, well, this is the time to experiment. So let me give it a go.
Those numbers don't add up.
4-3-3 brackets.
Oh, three. Okay. Yeah, I think you left off. Well, three. I think you said 4-3-5. Or maybe I just missed it. But the 4-3-3, the fifth variant.
Yes.
The one with the five. CF.
Yeah. False nine variant.
Of course, James loves a false nine.
Yeah. Path to Power was one of my favorite YouTube series ever. Like, Japes is a legend. And if it works for him, I want to try it. But it's like a 70 depth, like, I mean, super aggressive. Totally. But like, my team's better than every opponent I ever match up against. And so it's like, that feels like the way I should try to match up against them.
I did notice I haven't watched the video yet. So this is just shout out to someone who does not need shout outs, but Run the Foot Market posted a 4-3-1-2 video today. So maybe check that out too. I've liked that formation in the past, especially when I feel like I have the better team and just want to overwhelm folks. And I assume that's how he is. And he's obviously an elite player. He's, you know, one of, if not the best trader in the world, and certainly also a really elite game player too. So maybe something for us to all check out.
Yeah, the one formation I refuse to play, regardless if it becomes the meta or not, is the 4-1-2-1-2 second variation, the narrow.
The diamond.
I just think it's so boring. I'm so done with it. And I know it can be effective, but like, I just can't stand it. So
yeah,
I've done it too much.
I don't know.
I'm over it.
I hear you. I think every year it can be different. Like, it's interesting in the years where it's helpful to have the fullbacks attacking and things like that. You know, I think this is one thing where we're just two blokes talking, and so it'd be interesting to hear feedback from folks listening. Like, Luke, send us your custom tactics. Please tag me and Tyler because we are open to trying out anything. I think that's the coolest part of the, you mentioned it, the rivals, like not being able to drop below divisions. It's like, that, I actually did the same thing. I tried out 3-4-1-2 and I tried out the diamond. I tried out 4-2, or I was playing 4-2-3-1, and that's how I switched to 4-3-2-1. And, you know, like, the ability to try out different formations and have no fear of like relegation or really any repercussions whatsoever is actually cool. It's a nice benefit.
And actually finishing the game, you still get a benefit because you like progress toward season milestone. Like I think EA, it's complicated, but the rival system does actually work and I kind of like it.
Yep. I like 99% of it this year as well. The only problem, again, is not giving folks wins for your opponent quitting in a tie game, which is still the dumbest thing ever. We don't need to talk about it more. I've already complained about it before. One other, you know, I want to circle back one thing. We've been talking a while, but I think I'm at least having fun talking about the new game and all the stuff that we're doing. But one gameplay thing I did want to talk about just very briefly. Are you having trouble passing? Because I am. I feel it might be because I've moved from 99 rated players and whatnot down to 82s and 84s, but I feel like I'm having trouble with somewhat completely different things. Three things. One, pass is not going where I'm aiming. Just like blatantly, I even turned on the trainer to like be like, I'm pretty confident I'm aiming like northwest and it's like passing the ball south. What the fuck? So that's one. Two is just passes getting picked off, which is really just like defender go with gadget legs and like so be it. And then three is just like the timing, and this is both passing and shots, where players are just taking, even on old gen, players are taking so fucking long to get off any pass or shot or anything. It's just something's happening there for me where I'm even on one touch pass, try to do a one touch pass and it ends up being like a three touch pass, for example. So I don't know. Are you seeing any of that?
Yeah. And certainly on new gen, it's accentuated because your players definitely do take extra touches before they do anything. It's like they take an extra touch to like set the ball up in the right position before they take the action. And then that gives to either manual or AI defender a lot more time to move into position to then intercept the pass that you're trying to deliver. So that for sure happens all the time. But even on old gen, I think there's a twofold experience of, yes, your players are now much, much worse. Like the guys that you're using are just so much slower in their reaction time and their accuracy. And so there's a part of it where like you have line of sight of like, I know I can move from my left back to center mid and pass around like this striker who's trying to like be in the middle, but your left back doesn't pass the ball in a straight, perfect line to your center mid. Yeah. It's like they kick it right to the striker and you're like, well, what the fuck? But it's like, you're using like an 81 rated gold player and like, he doesn't have the best touch. He's on the move. He's on his wrong foot. Like things like that do matter infinitely more than they did at the tail end of last year. And so that is frustrating to get used to. The other thing that I find really challenging is like you're receiving a pass and you can tell that there's a defender that's coming to like put on pressure. And as you're trying to receive that pass, your player can't control the ball like just immediately. Yeah. And so there's this like jostling amongst their feet while they're trying to get settled and figure out what to do with the pass. And by then the defender is just on you. And it's like, they either slam right into you and steal the ball away, or like, you're like constantly shielding. And like, you know, it's this really big tussle. And it feels to me like I am not a pro player by any means, but super safe passes over like aggressive passes, unless they're like driven, like it's like, oh, like I'm whipping the ball into that guy, like Driven pass is super effective because you remove a lot of that equation. Because if there's a defender who's coming to try to like get on you by using the driven pass, you're getting the ball to your player way faster. And that extra jostling time of like them figuring it out doesn't really feel accentuated. Like it's like they basically take the same amount of time to figure out what to do with the ball, but you just gotten it to them much, much faster. And so I bet you 50% of my passes are driven passes. And then 25% are true balls. And only 25% remaining are regular passes. Like, I do driven passes a lot.
Interesting, because I have found that that is actually the one that seems to be the slowest for me. So it just takes forever to get the damn ball off. So I just have kind of decided I do them occasionally, but I don't do them a ton. I've heard other people tell me like, hey, that's the new meta. Probably you've told me that too. But I just feel like it just takes so long to get them off that like they get intercepted or even the passing. Like the other thing that I find is the passing lane just gets closed, right? Like if you've got a relatively open pass, the defenders just like the AI defenders just like kind of close that down.
Yeah. And there it's possible that like we walk through our squads, like my squad quality, I think, is now slightly ahead of yours. And so that
Really? You think Messi? You think a million coin card might make your squad a little better than mine? I would say so.
Yeah, so that could be a factor. But honestly, like, within a couple of weeks, like, you'll have players that'll do that. I just would really encourage you to keep driven passes top of mind as a viable solution.
I'm going to keep that to heart and try it. Two things. And both important here. You mentioned within a couple of weeks that I might catch up with you. And that's because you're not trading and I might start trading. Or I am trading. Obviously, I'm trading. I'm an addict of trading too. So one thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is, do you guys want to hear me talk like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes a week about just like random shit I'm doing, random trading thoughts, things like that? I know Tyler doesn't want to hear it, but would that be helpful? I know there's not really like a ton of podcasts out there talking about it, and it's not like there needs to be a ton. Again, I will always and forever shout out Nate, the Foot Accountant, who is doing the equivalent of a podcast. But If you're listening to this anyways and you don't want to go listen to Nate talk for 10 or 20 minutes, would that be helpful? Like just kind of like, what is the simple shit I'm trying to do? And I can tell you guys right now, I'm trying to do something very simple, which is just find a couple super, super popular players on Footbin, like their rare gold cards, their in packs, and just doing the position change and Kim style trading. So it need both, right? You want like on a striker, like a good striker wanting a Hunter card or a Hot card and then wanting like a Cam on them, or a defender. I guess defenders don't really have the Kim style, or they don't have the position change, but you want a a shadow on them. So things like that is what I'm doing. I'm making minimal coins because I'm not spending a ton of time, but happy to like kind of carve out a little time each week to talk about that if it would be helpful to you guys. Because it is something I do, and I do have my DMs open if you ever want to talk more in depth.
Is there anything that you invest in or like you're buying to hold, like right now, like not ever
right now, I mean, but like right in, now? Well, it really just depends on what you want to do, right? So the market is dirt cheap, 82s, 83s, 84s, 85s, 86s, 87s, 88s. They're at their lowest point for the year. So it's just a matter of, are you going to do nothing with those coins, or do you want those coins to do something with them, over the next like 4 to 6 weeks? Because
right, so like if there's a guy that like packed Mbappe and they're like, you know what, I fucking hate Mbappe. I only want to run a Man United squad, and I'm going to do like a past, present, future Man United squad. And so they're sitting on like 1.5 million coins. Like they shouldn't just let them sit there.
You should do icon flipping. So icon flipping is I haven't delved into it yet, But that's where the real coins are. That's, you just need to kind of follow the market. We can, let's set aside some time next week or 2 weeks from now and talk 5-10 minutes about how to flip icons. Cause that's where all the coin that a lot of people say that's the easiest way. I'm not sure I believe that's the easiest way, but it is a very effective way, especially if you have millions of coins. And because very few people have millions of coins right now, so that it just allows you to have a lot of leeway. And especially if you're on PlayStation, it is so much easier to flip shit like that on PlayStation, where the player base is 3 to 4 times as large.
Yeah, what actually would be cool is if any of our listeners like has a specific example, like their example of like, hey, I have this many coins, here's where I'm at, here's what I'm trying to do. I'd love for you to like talk them through like what they should do. So I'd encourage.
Yeah, hit me up. We can talk about, and actually hit me up over the week. Let's like talk about it and strategize and stuff, and let's see how it like turns out over the week too, because that'd be pretty cool from my perspective if we can do that. So yeah, I'm all game for that. One other thing about improving my team is there's a lot of stuff. I'm actually going to give a shout out to, just in general, we talk about Foot and Review podcast occasionally, but that's the brainchild of John Van Uden at Foot Coaching on Twitter. He now has actually branched out and he has a whole company of folks, and someone who is one of his pro players has been helping me a ton just by his new YouTube videos. And that's, he goes by King Sunny on YouTube. So just search that, Sunny, S-U-N-N-Y. He has given a ton of tips lately. They're very short. So it's not like, oh, let me have to watch like a 20-30 minute YouTube video to find out, hey, you should like press up and down and back and right and left and front to like do the right thing. Right, he gets in and out, but it's actually very detailed and great. And his most recent video is a ball roll video that has helped me tremendously. And so I just want to give him a shout out, because it's incredibly great to have, you know, just short tutorials that can help everyone.
That's a huge tip. I am literally going to go watch those tonight, because one thing is for sure, I know I have a lot of flaws in my gameplay, but like the most glaring ones are I sprint too much, not very creative in front of the box or in the box, and I never ball roll. Like all of my opponents use the ball roll, and I never, like, I probably use it 1 in 100 games, and clearly missing a huge opportunity to like create different spaces. And I'm very excited to watch this video.
Yeah, I am certainly, I have always been told I need to ball roll more. It is one of my flaws too, is that I don't do it nearly enough, but it is such a great technique in this game.
Andrew, anything else you want to talk about on this episode?
Oh, on this like 5-hour-long episode that I hope you guys all enjoy. But we were like, oh, let's just have a four-issue list and we're going to talk for 2 hours. And we turned out to do that. So sorry about that, guys, but this has been fun to me. That's it. Follow me on Twitter at @foot_AST. I am planning this week to do, I've said it a few times, but I'm planning to do some like actual live streaming of Rivals games and stuff this week on Twitch. So that's also @foot_AST. Tyler, what about you? What about the podcast?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Pace of the Tortoise. You can find this podcast at @foot_FIX. And with that, this has been your weekly hit of the Foot Fix. We'll be right back.